Question 74. How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? Matthew 22:42, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Mark 12:35-37, and Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" What a person thinks of Christ tells a lot about his faith. Most of us devote little time to this consideration. We simply believe Christ to be exactly who we've been told he is. Messiah and son of David were the same words in the minds of the ancient Hebrews and in the minds of the Jews of Jesus' day. They had determined that Christ would be the son of David, but they did not expect that he would be the son of God. In Matthew alone, look at the many times he was referred to as the son of David. 9:27, two blind men followed him, crying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." 12:23, and all the people said, "Is this not the son of David?" 15:22, and behold, a woman of Canaan cried unto him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." 20:30, and behold, two blind men, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." 21:9, and the multitudes cried, saying, "Hosanna to the son of David." The Pharisees, upon hearing the people worship him at his entry into Jerusalem on that famous sixth day, admonished him to silence his disciples and the multitudes. The reason the Pharisees did not like the people calling out, "Hosanna, son of David," was not because they thought Jesus should reject their praise. It was because the crowd was proclaiming him as Messiah. On another occasion, Jesus decided to give the churchmen a quiz on the subject of the son of David. He asked, "Just what do you mean by the term?" Matthew 22:41-46. When the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? And if David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day ask him any more questions. All of the knowledge that the scribes and Pharisees had, they'd gathered from the scriptures. This is the main reason the Bible is an imperfect guide, because it is an imperfect means of thought and information conveyance. If a sign is unintelligible or difficult to interpret or written in another language, what value has it as a sign? The very reason that the Apostle Paul discouraged speaking in tongues was that it was a trumpet that gives an uncertain sound. Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 14:8, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" He goes on to say that unless the message is clear, it has to take a lesser place in the list of gifts. When driving through Mexico, my wife Pam and I were more intent than the locals when it came to reading the signs. It took longer for us to read them and understand them. A rather large and looming sign appeared on the highway, and it was exceptionally frightening because of its size. The fact that it had unfamiliar words, big words we'd not seen on the signs before it, caused us to panic and miss what it said. "Obedezca las señales." I wondered out loud, what did it say? I thought it may have said, "Bridge is missing," or "There is a large motorhome swallowing hole in the middle of the road ahead." Actually, we saw it later and realized it merely said, "Obey the signs," which was great advice. The uncertainty of the sign on that hot desert highway led to needless turmoil and confusion and fear. For the sign to have its desired effect, namely safety and information, it must be understood. The Bible, without the Spirit of God to interpret it, can lead the reader in the opposite direction the author intended. Upon the same basis, the Bible must take second place to the Spirit of God. Not that the Scriptures would be contradicted by the Spirit, but our interpretations and understanding must give way to the truths of God revealed by His Spirit. We have a tendency to label what we understand the Bible says as indeed what the Bible says. But that's just not so. The Scriptures can only say what they say, and the Spirit reveals their truth to us. Our Bibles, our interpretations and translations and theologies must make way for and give over to and bow before the Spirit of the living God. In this story, the Bible said plainly that Messiah is to be the Son of David, not the Son of God. Are we to reject our own understanding or the truth revealed to us by Christ? The question Jesus asked was, "How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?" The question is calling for an answer in the form of an explanation. How say? How do they say that? Upon what authority? Upon what basis? How do they arrive at that conclusion? By the Scriptures? The Scriptures say that David calls him Lord. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus has blown their source for their assumption. He told them that they missed the message. They misinterpreted, misunderstood. There are many doctrines we believe are true and would stake our eternal life upon. And indeed we do. But how did we arrive at them? You may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. How did you arrive at that? How did it come to you? Was it told you or taught to you? Did you merely read it and accept the testimony of the words on a page? Or was it revealed to you in your quiet moments? Have you ever considered the impossibility of untainted information? Many boast that they don't listen to men, but only believe what the Bible says. Unless they believe that the book they hold in their hand was dictated, written, produced, and published on the printing press in heaven, how could it be free from the influences of man? At every turn of the investigation of the origin of the Scriptures, one must trust in man to hear, copy, print, interpret, and define the words of God. I do not say this to discredit the Bible, but to inspire you to seek the living Word, to seek Christ. The Spirit of God will never lead you to misunderstand, misinterpret the words of God. The Spirit can open new avenues of thinking and definition that are unavailable to mere readers of the Bible. Jesus assessed the spiritual acuity of the Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees were convinced of the identity of Messiah as told in the infallible Scriptures. Jesus put them to the test. How say ye that Christ is the Son of David? We're quick to claim what we believe, but until we take the time to determine the origin of what we believe, we're building on shifting sand. How say you that Christ is the Son of David? The revelation of Jesus as Messiah is one that Jesus knew came from the Father only. Even when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him if he was indeed the Christ, Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" There is hardly a more important question than that one. Have you stood before God and waited for your revelation? How say you that Christ is the Son of David?